Hey everybody, welcome back. I just wanted to take a few seconds today before we get into it and say thank you for viewing, watching, whatever. I've noticed a fair amount of people have found the podcast already. I haven't shared it anywhere. I don't really post it on any socials or anything. It's sort of more something you can really look for if you sort of need it. I haven't really got that many places to share it. A lot of the groups, the Emetophobia ones, don't really let you promote anything, so it's basically just what it is. It's whatever. I don't want to have, like, you know, like, I don't want to, like, make a thing out of this. I just want it to be, like, a little thing, little community. I just want to give my advice and help whoever I can. But, yeah, thank you for watching and listening. Thank you for any ratings or reviews or anything. I do really appreciate it. Yeah, thanks. So what I wanted to talk about today was how avoidance can negatively impact emetophobia. So, or your recovery at least. So I've dealt with this for a while. It's something I've been dealing with pretty consistently over the years, is avoiding things. It can be like avoiding certain foods, social events, like people's birthdays, like a wedding, fucking lunch with a friend, whatever. Can be like crowded shopping centers. It can be going to the grocery store earlier on in the day when everyone's there and just going at nighttime. It can realistically be anything. And I find a lot of the time we give ourselves excuses as to why we do these things instead of acknowledging that it is avoidance. We see it as, you know, sort of a quick fix. It's like a band-aid almost. It makes us feel a little more in control at the moment. Makes it feel like a little more manageable. But in reality, it's actually damaging us more than it would benefit us. And I know that firsthand. I know a lot of us are self-aware enough to know that, you know, it's something you sort of take a while to realize. Because what else are you supposed to do? Like, I get it. You know, as soon as this sort of phobia hits people, like, I know most of us had moments where it sort of just hit. It didn't just gradually build up over time. It sort of just came out of nowhere and just, like, hit us. It can be very challenging to do anything else but avoid. Like, we don't want to put ourselves in our perceived danger. So when we are afraid of something we see as, like, it might seem a bit silly, but it's a real fear to us. That's real. That's real danger. Our bodies see that as something really scary, even though it's not. It's not in reality, but to us it is. So we will pretty much avoid anything that could happen, or like that could have that happen, whether it's us, someone else, or, you know, anything that has anything to do with sickness. And like, I've been there for a while. I've been in there. I still do have a tendency to do that occasionally. I'll try my hardest not to, and I'll acknowledge it and try my best to be like, no, I know what I'm doing here. I need to stop this, and sort of get out of that cycle. But it can take a lot of effort to do so. But we all know what avoidance is, and we all do have a tendency to do it. I'd like to say, like, pretty much all of us do have a tendency to do that. But how do we stop that? So for me, to stop, like, 95% of it, because I really don't do it that often, unless I'm in, like, a really bad space, like I'm having a bad, like, month or something, bad few weeks or out of the year, whatever. Obviously, I've been pretty open that I'm not doing the greatest at the moment. Previous times just tells me that I have done the right things to sort of break that cycle of avoidance in that time frame, but obviously I needed to do something different this time. So gradual exposure to those things is pretty key. It's pretty, like, obvious. Like, I feel like I sort of waste time making episodes about these things sometimes because, like, it's pretty much 99% of it is gradual exposure to things. But specifically, yeah, gradual exposure to the scary situations. So you don't have to dive into things head first. Like, you don't have to just jump straight in and go to, like, a hotel in fucking, I don't know, Sydney or something, and leave your house for 2 weeks, you know, and just put yourself in, like, the most panic-inducing situation you could possibly be in. But gradually exposing yourself to a point where you can have lunch with your friends, or you don't want to call out of every time you go out to dinner, or you don't want to go to dinner and not eat anything, or, you know, you're scared of that certain food, or, you know, whatever it may be that you are avoiding, you can get to a point where you don't have to do that anymore, and you don't have to be so afraid of that. And it takes a lot of fucking work. I'm not going to lie. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of energy. It's going to cause you probably a little bit of pain. It's probably going to cause you some stress, some anxiety. It's probably going to give you panic attacks. Hopefully not, but it might, you know. It gave me some panic attacks. But then again, I probably didn't do it the right way, at least the way you should do it, you know, at least 100%. whatever, you know, we're past that point now. So I'm going to share my advice with you guys. I hope that didn't give you like a little bit of doubt or anything. It's all good. Like I didn't do anything drastic. I just, you know, gradual exposure is just the key. So if, for instance, that you are trying to go out to lunch with your friends, let's say you can go to lunch, but you can't eat anything. We're going to start off with something small, your safe food. If it's on the menu, if there's something on that menu that you think will cause you the least distress if you eat it, suggest ordering that and just explaining that you may not eat all of that. You know, you might feel rude to not, you know, eat all the food and leave it on the plate, but you can take it to go, in most places, or, you know, just, it's whatever, you know, maybe you can give it to someone else after you've eaten what you want to eat, or maybe you just want to eat a little bit and you don't really care what people think. It's okay to just have bread. If you go from not eating at all when you go out to lunch or dinner to having a little bit of bread, that's a win. That's gradual exposure. And continuing to do that on a consistent basis, trying to arrange something with your friends, family, whatever, that you do go out to dinner once a week and you gradually try to eat a little more each time. And soon you'll realize, maybe not soon, it'll take a while, but you'll realize eventually that it isn't so scary. You know, you might have a few hiccups along the way where, you know, that piece of bread might make you bloated a little bit, or that salad might, you know, the dressing on it just didn't hit right and something about it is making you feel a little weird. That's probably going to happen, but it's going to be okay. You've got your coping mechanisms, and if anything fails, you've got your mints or your gum or whatever. You've got that. So you've got that there. You've got your backup. You're going to be okay no matter what, as long as you just try. And same thing if you can't go out to dinner, for example. Like, this is all just an example. You know, you can utilize this in, like you can use this in any situation, like gradually exposing yourself. You just have to make your own steps for it. It's sort of hard to judge where you want to put those steps, but it is solely the key to beating basically anything like this. So if you can't go out to dinner, for example, you're going to gradually drive closer and closer each time, where you're going to meet friends closer at a closer coffee shop or down the road or at your house. Have them come over and cook dinner for them. You cooked it, so you know it's 100% safe. You can get them to check the chicken or whatever, or the steak, or do whatever they need to do. And if you need them to leave, I'm sure they'll understand because they're your friends. You know? So there is always ways around what you need to do and how you can break it down into smaller steps that are a little easier, so you don't have to throw yourself directly into the deep end, because you really do not want to do that. Apart from that, another thing I found that was sort of hard was having my mindset be the way it was and trying to change it into a slightly more positive one. Because I was downright negative a lot of the time. Like, I was pretty defeated most of the time. Especially if I couldn't do something that day, I would completely just ruin myself. You know, like, if I was like, I need to go to the supermarket, but I'm avoiding it because I don't want to get sick. Like, I'm perfectly capable of doing it. I did it yesterday, but today for some reason I can't do it. Or, like, whatever it might be that I was trying to do. And my mindset was pretty broken around that. Like, I was, you know, just being so negative for literally no reason, because there was no one it was benefiting. It definitely wasn't helping me. In fact, it was making me worse. You know, like, I tried to sort of, instead of seeing it as like something really scary, I tried to view it as a natural response to something that I couldn't necessarily control. I tried to not take it as like I'm just like paralyzed with fear, and more like I am like scared of something that doesn't quite make sense to me, but that's okay. It's okay that I feel this way right now. Like, I'm probably going to feel this way again, but I am strong enough to deal with these symptoms. I don't need to listen to the voice inside my head that tells me that I'm going to get sick every time I do anything. You know, I'm just not interested in that. And it's hard. You know, sometimes you are going to listen to it and you're going to take your eyes off the road or whatever, metaphorically, and you're just going to get stuck talking to yourself. That little monster inside your head, more like it. And you're going to be like just having a conversation with something that's trying to keep you home and keep you safe, in quotation marks, keep you certain. But you can't be. It's just not that. It's just not something that can exist. You can't be 100% certain. It's just life, you know. And the more you disengage the conversation with that monster, and you do not take everything that happens as a major negative thing, or treat it as the worst thing that's ever happened, the better you will be at dealing with those things when they come in the future. It'll take a while to sort of expose yourself to that, even to a better way of thinking. Like, I'm not even completely there yet. I know it's working. It's slow, and I fuck up sometimes, and I have conversations with that monster, and I sit there and I these symptoms, I'm like, fuck, why me, I can't believe this is happening to me, why won't it stop, like all that negative shit, it's not helping anything. I've got to be strong. Even if I don't fully believe I'm strong enough, I'm going to sit there and tell myself that I accept the symptoms that I feel, and I will be okay, because I've been okay more times than I've been sick, and I know that. And sometimes that just gives me enough edge to do the thing I need to do, and sometimes it doesn't. But the more you do that, the more practice you have, the better you're going to get at realizing that and recognizing the signs. Because every time you feel sick, you probably feel the same. Like, I'm at the point where I can tell that I'm not going to get sick, but I definitely feel sick. You know, like, I know that I'm not going to, you know, nothing's actually going to happen, but this feeling I have inside me is not good. And it's sort of, I'm sort of more scared of the feeling of it rather than the actual action, you know. And I'm sure a lot of people probably could, actually, I don't know. I really don't know if anyone could relate to that, but I know for me, yeah, I'm more scared of the actual nauseous, like the nauseous feelings, rather than anything else. But aside from that, yeah, it's like the mindset we all probably need to work on. I know we are pretty hard on ourselves. We like to blame ourselves a lot. We like to be really mean to ourselves, and we like to sort of catastrophize everything. Is that how you say that? Let me know. I don't know. I don't know if I pronounce that right. Whatever. But we all like to make things a lot worse. And it's hard not to do that, especially when you have an anxiety disorder and you have a phobia and those two mixed together. It's pretty much a recipe for overthinking and making everything worse than it is. But if you can sort of pull yourself back to reality, if you can use your mindfulness, you can use your deep breathing, you can use all the skills that you've learned over this time, because I know you've learned things. Okay, you might feel like you've gotten nowhere, but you have. Every day you get a little closer, even though it's only a little bit. So use those skills you've built, the healthy ones, to remind yourself to bring yourself back down to earth just enough. You might even be able to do that thing that you were trying to do. Take a minute, take 10 minutes. Doesn't matter what you do. But as long as you're being nice to yourself and you are like, but as long as you're being nice to yourself and you are trying to change that mindset just a little bit. And if you find yourself, you know, not sticking to that positive mindset or that not so negative mindset, then pull yourself up on it. If you catch yourself doing that, make sure to hold yourself accountable. Like, hang on, I know what I'm doing right now. I need to stop this. I know what I need to do. And you should be right going from there. I know it's really confusing. I know I'm confusing. But I promise you, putting those things into practice and doing those things for yourself will do nothing but good. Some other things that helped me were celebrating my progress. So I've talked about this before, but writing my small wins down, or my wins, doesn't have to be small, big, whatever the fuck, it doesn't matter. Any type of win you have. And as I said, I've gone over those in another episode, so be sure to check that one out. I think it might have been the one before this one. I don't remember the title. Sorry. But definitely try to do that. I know it can be a bit like weird to sort of write down those things or acknowledge those things. Like, you had a shower today and it might feel a little weird, you know, like everyone has to shower. It's normal, but it can be a step. It is a step. It is most definitely a step, and it's a step in the right direction. Anything like that, doing the dishes, taking the dog for a walk, just going outside for a few minutes. If, you know, you couldn't do that yesterday and you did that today, or even if you did do that yesterday and it's hard today still, it's going to get easier. You just have to keep going. I promise. Another thing is definitely be patient with yourself. You are the person you are trying to heal. It's you against you, so you need to be okay with that, and you need to be okay with yourself taking the time that you need to do these things. You are not going to get out of this in a week. You can make progress in a week. It's going to be slow progress. It's probably not going to feel like much, or it might feel like a lot. I don't know. It depends on your situation. For me, progress is always pretty slow. It always seems to feel like it takes a while for me to get to a different point with my emetophobia, like with the things that I do, the exposure, everything. With enough repetition and enough just doing it, you know, everything I've talked about today, it does, you know, improve. So, and definitely seek out support with a therapist or someone that you can talk to, whether it be a friend, a family member, a partner, anyone you can. It is definitely a good idea to reach out for help when you need it. Never be afraid to do so. There are people out here that can support you and your family, friends, whatever. They do love and care about you. And if you don't have many friends, neither. I don't really either. But I do have a few. Like, there is like one or two good ones there that I really can depend on and trust. So definitely look for support and seek it out when you do feel like you need the help or you do need someone to talk to. There is places that, you know, provide a service where you can call, text, come in, whatever. I don't know how it goes for your country specifically, but I know here there is things like that, so I'm sure that goes for everywhere. But most importantly, just keep your head up a little bit. I know it might be a hard time for you right now. I know shit might just feel like it's not getting any better. You know, every day might feel like a repeat of the last day. It might feel like you're in a cycle, even. It might feel like you have some good days, but then you have some bad days, and it seems like it never ends. Trust me, I've been there. I know. But it does end, and it does get better. But you just got to keep your head up. Keep fighting. Keep strong. You'll be okay. Okay, you will beat this. We all will. But that'll do it for this episode. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning here. I did start recording this earlier, but I had some things come up weirdly. So it is what it is. I'm going to go to bed, but I will just let you guys know you can follow my socials at the bottom if you do, at the bottom of the app you're using, I guess. If you do want to hit me up for any reason, like if you want to come on the show or you got some questions or anything, or I've said something that you don't quite agree with, feel free to tell me why. I'll hear you out. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I'm more than happy to hear other people's opinions, so it is what it is. But please leave a rating and a review if you can, and I will see you in the next episode. Until then, keep safe. See ya.